July 4th, 1919. It is a memorable day for sports fans because on that day, Jack Dempsey won the heavyweight boxing title from world champion Jess Willard. Dempsey was born in Manassas, Colorado, hence his lifelong nickname, the Manassas Mauler. And Maul Willard he did. The champion was down 7 times in the first round. He was badly battered in the second and third. And before the fourth round began, his seconds threw in the towel. And today is also the 100th anniversary of our 30th president.
July 4, 1776 was the historic day on which the representatives of 3 million of people vocalized Concord and Lexington and Bunker Hill.
That is the voice of Calvin Coolidge, a recording of a 4th of July speech in 1920, shortly before he was nominated for vice president. And when his wife, Grace, heard of his nomination, she asked, "You're not going to take it, are you?" And he replied with his typical brevity, "I suppose I'll have to." On March 21st, 1921, Coolidge arrived in Washington for the inauguration with the president-elect, Warren Harding, and their wives. A little more than 2 years later, Harding died unexpectedly, and Calvin Coolidge became the 6th man to attain the presidency because of the death of a president. He was in Plymouth, Vermont, vacationing on his father's family farm when the news came on August 2nd, 1923, of Harding's death. He was urged to take the oath of office as soon as possible. And because his father was a justice of the peace, he administered the oath in the sitting room of the family home by the light of oil lamps. Calvin Coolidge has never been regarded as one of the great presidents, but he certainly was an individualist. One of his biographers called him a Puritan in Babylon. Another called him the quiet president. And the American people referred to him as Silent Cal. Once when he was being filmed for a newsreel, the cameraman asked him to look pleasant and say something, anything. The cameraman said, "Good morning," or "How do you do?" And Coolidge remarked, "That man gets more out of me than all of Congress." Although he was a shy and reserved man, shortly after he was graduated from Amherst College and became a lawyer, he entered politics vigorously. He was elected to the Massachusetts legislature, and in 1919, he became governor of that state. In his second year in office, he achieved national prominence by breaking a Boston police strike, which some historians believe he could have averted. He was president during an unprecedented era of prosperity for most Americans, and he was elected for a full term in 1924. He had a Yankee passion for business and the economy. In his inauguration speech, he said, "Economy is idealism in its most practical form." On another occasion, he said, "The business of America is business." And in opposing a reduction of Europe's war debt, he said, "They hired the money, didn't they?" During his administration, there were 3 tax reduction bills. He made economies in government, reduced the national debt by $2 billion in 3 years. He opposed the League of Nations, but he supported and signed the Brion-Kellogg treaties to renounce war as a means of settling international disputes. The 6 years of the presidency were apparently enough for Coolidge. In 1927, despite the eagerness of the Republicans to renominate him, he announced, "I do not choose to run for president," in 1928. But there are some historians who think he would have run if drafted. Calvin Coolidge returned home to Northampton, Massachusetts after the inauguration of Herbert Hoover. He lived quietly there for 4 years, practiced law, wrote an autobiography, a syndicated newspaper column, and then one winter day in January 1933, he died. The mayor of Northampton announced that the stores would not be closed on the day of the funeral, saying, "If the business place is closed, they might lose sales." And that is exactly what Calvin Coolidge would not want. From all over the country, dignitaries came to Northampton, and its people crowded the streets for the funeral. The prayers were simple and formal. There were no eulogies, and afterwards he was buried in the graveyard at Plymouth, Vermont, where he was born 61 years before. Our thanks to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the New York Historical Society, and Forbes Library at Northampton for the pictures which have illustrated the life of Calvin Coolidge.